The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In this powerful sermon from 2015, Elder Buddy Abernathy deals with the biblical question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This nation was founded upon Christian principles, but it seems that we have moved farther and farther away from that foundation today. What then can God's children do? Please join us for the first half of this sermon about how we should be faithful to God in our daily walk.
Come, ye sinners, for
Psalm 2, beginning with verse 10. Psalm 2, beginning with verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
Amen.
Here we see that the psalmist is giving instruction as well as warning to the leaders of the nation, to those that are in high places of authority within the government. And as we consider the instruction that is here given, I believe this accurately describes the mindset of the founding fathers in America. Notice what it says. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. And then he goes on to say, how it is that our leaders can be wise.
Yes, right.
And that's by serving the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now that concept is describing someone who reverences God in such a way that they fear Him more than man. They fear Him more than the consequences that they may reap at the hands of men who would oppose them as they serve the Lord. And I believe this, again, is describing the true mindset of our founding fathers in a general way. And it's important that we also recognize that our nation in the beginning was not just a religious nation,
right,
but it was a Christian
Amen.
Nation.
That's right.
And one of the reasons that the Constitution is so misunderstood and misapplied today is because it's not interpreted in that context.
Amen.
It's not interpreted in view of the fact that the men who wrote it, for the most part, were God-fearing men.
Right.
And that's why you'll see people who have the idea that freedom means that you should have unbridled lust
right.
to pursue whatever feels good to you. And we saw that idea being promoted back in the 60s, and we see today what the consequence is.
Yeah.
But true freedom is the ability to function with freely within the within particular parameters.
Right.
And I believe those are parameters are identified in God's Word.
Amen.
Now, I want to read to you just a few quotes from our founding fathers that make it so clear that our nation in its beginning was truly a Christian nation. And you'll notice as I read these, most of these men's last names starts with an A. And that just means that I only had to go that far through the alphabet to find several significant quotes. Now, the first one I want you to consider is a quote by John Adams. And I'm sure most of you will know these facts, but we'll just read them anyway. John Adams was a signer of the Declaration of the Independence, a signer, one of the two signers of the Bill of Rights, and the second president of the United States. And notice what he said. The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity.
Amen.
I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God.
Amen.
No question as to what John Adams believes and the context in which he would interpret and apply the laws of our nation. Now listen to this quote by John Quincy Adams, who was the sixth president of the United States and also served as a U.S. senator and a U.S. representative. He said, in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly, you can't dissolve it. It's linked with the birthday of the Savior. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. Listen to that again. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. Now listen to what Samuel Adams said, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He was known as the father of the American Revolution. He was a ratifier of the U.S. Constitution and governor of Massachusetts. And of course, Massachusetts today may well be the most liberal state. As you know, Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy represented Massachusetts for many years. Now, listen to what Samuel Adams said as he called on the state of Massachusetts to pray. He asked them to pray that we may with one heart and voice humbly implore His, referring to God, His gracious and free pardon through Jesus Christ, supplicating His divine aid, and above all, to cause the religion of Jesus Christ in its true spirit to spread far and wide till the whole earth shall be filled with His glory. Can you imagine what would happen today if a politician asked his state to pray that the religion of Jesus Christ would spread far and wide throughout the earth? And then, let's just consider one more. As this is not what an individual said, but this is what bodies of government said. This is found in the Journal of the House of Representatives of the USA, and it was put there in 1854. The great, vital, and conservative element in our system is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and the divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is just a small sampling of men whose last name started with A. And you could find hundreds and hundreds of similar quotes. That's why our nation has been so strong and so blessed for so long. Amen. That's why that we are in a very small percentage of people in the world who know where their meals are coming from and know they're going to have a warm, dry shelter, and we have so many luxuries, is because unlike the children of Israel, we have enjoyed tremendous blessings as they did when they were obedient to the Lord. Now let's go read Psalm 2 again. And I'm going to insert the word president in Congress, and let's ask ourselves if this is the attitude of our leaders today. Be wise now, therefore, O president. Be instructed, ye members of Congress. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I don't think there's anybody here that would say that describes the general attitude of those in places of authority. I'm glad there are a few men that do have that mindset. But I believe you can turn to Psalm 10. And find a more accurate description of the general mindset and heart of those that rule over us. Psalm 10 in verse 4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." You know, one of the things that we often do that brings us to the reason, the conclusion that we say we don't understand how that person can be that way, is because we're trying to look at the way they think the same way we do. For example, sometimes I look at maybe those senators that are in their 70s who promote such evil, ungodly policies, and I say, how can they be that way knowing they only have a few years left? Well, see, they don't think the way you and I do. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Verse 6, he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. See, he feels like he's there to stay. He's full of pride. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. And now look at the last part of verse 13. He has said in his heart. Now this is not just his mind or the outward attitude he tries to show to others. This is what is in his heart. And when you read the word heart in Scripture, that's describing the very center and core of who a person is. Amen. He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. In other words, God's not going to judge me. There's no day of reckoning. I'm not going to be held to account for what I'm doing because he's full of pride. Mm-hmm. Now, because of this, we see things such as Brother Bob referenced. And I could name you at least three examples of people that have been forced out of business simply because they declined to participate in those things in the gay community that they considered to be ungodly and a conflict with their conscience. And as Brother Chris said, they weren't being critical, they weren't trying to harm, they were just saying, we don't want to be involved in this. Right. We just want to be left alone. And yet we've reached the point that people have been put out of business. And I've never seen any issue accelerate the way this one has.
Right.
I used to think that I'll never see persecution during my lifetime. But I believe today if the wrong person hears me preach on particular subjects, I may well be not only criticize, but suffer some legal consequences. Now, I've shared with you a lot of negatives. And I shared that with you so we can now consider the importance of what we should be doing.
Yeah.
Brother Chris mentioned that the Lord takes care of his people.
Amen.
And I believe he will today.
Yes.
Now it says in Psalm 9:17 that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So we should be concerned about what the Lord would have us to do.
Right.
Now when he refers to hell there, he's not speaking, I believe, of eternal hell, because he says he's going to turn the nations into hell that forget God. And I believe that is described clearly in Psalm 19 verses 24 and 25, which was the judgment upon a nation that was totally consumed with this sin that is so overtaking our culture today. It says in Psalms 19, 24 and 25, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Now, if that's not hell on earth, I don't know what is.
Right. Amen.
So let's now focus on what am I to do.
Right.
Some of you young people, some of you older people, remember a time when our culture was the opposite as it is today. I'm sure if Brother Oliver talked about his childhood, these things today were unheard of. The older generation today has seen more moral decline in their lifetime than in the past 200 years of our nation. And so some of you young people, that's all you've known in your growing up is the blatant immorality. You've just seen it worsen where we've seen it start. So let's turn to Psalm 11 and verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, in order to understand this, you need to recognize that that word "if," I believe, is used in the sense that the text is saying, seeing that the foundations are destroyed.
That's right.
I believe that's the context, and there are many passages in the Bible that would not make sense if you only thought of that word "if" in the way we almost always use it. But in the Bible, the word "if" is often just saying, seeing that this is the way it is.
Right.
Seeing that the foundations have been destroyed. Surely we could say that that might be the case of our nation.
Right.
Maybe they can't be repaired. I don't want to be overly negative, but I want to be realistic. I don't know. God can revive anything. God can make the desert blossom as a rose. God can turn anything around. And
right.
I'm thankful. And here's a side point you need to keep in mind. Have you ever heard someone say, well, as wicked as this nation is, I don't know why the Lord has not destroyed them already. Well, I remember the Lord said regarding Sodom and Gomorrah, if there were 10 righteous,
right,
he would have spared them.
That's right.
I believe there's multiple times more than 10 righteous in America. I believe there's more than that here today. More people today. Not self-righteous people, but people that fear God, that confess their sins every day because they see how they mess up every day. And that's what they want to do, is serve God. And by the way, here's another point you need to understand. A person who can be described as a man or a woman after God's own heart is not somebody that's figured out how to conquer sin all the time, but it's a person as David was, and that's who that was descriptive of. It's someone that when they do sin, they want to correct.
Amen.
You know, when I think of that, I believe I can say I'm a man after
Amen.
God's own heart, and I believe you can do. We all sin and fail, but I believe the people here today are people that when you do fail, you want to get right again.
Amen.
That's a person after God's
Amen.
Own heart.
Amen.
And God hears the prayers of those kinds of people.
Amen.
Furthermore, when you consider that God would have spared Sodom if there would have been 10 righteous, did not Jesus say that we're the salt of the earth?
Amen.
You know, the other day we had some corn cooked, and I'm not going to say who cooked it, but I just know it was too salty. But you know, whoever salted it, they didn't open a box of salt and just pour salt all in it. They just sprinkled too much. Have you ever tried to eat popcorn that had too much salt on it? It's not any good, is it? You don't see a lot of salt poured in there when there's too much salt on it. The point is, it just takes a little salt to make a difference.
Amen.
And there's at least three ways that can be applied.
Yeah.
One is that salt has a healing effect.
Yeah.
It has a healing effect.
Yeah.
It also can purify. But I believe perhaps one of the best applications with regard to what we're talking about today is salt gives flavor.
Amen.
Now, don't you know when God looks upon this evil world that it's those people that are after His own heart who can be described as a salt? Don't you believe that's what gives a pleasant flavor to God?
Yes.
And that's why He preserves a culture, because there's still a flavor there that
Amen.
Satisfies God.
Amen.
But if that flavor's gone completely, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah,
right,
then that nation's history.
Amen.
Now let's go to Psalm 4. This should be our mindset. Psalm 4, and beginning with verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Now let's listen to what that says. If I'm trying to live godly, though I mess up every day, but when I do mess up, I'm saying, Lord, help me to do right again. You know, some days driving home from work, I'm praying for forgiveness for the same thing almost every day. Now, I know Brother Chris doesn't have that struggle. But, you know, I'm almost routinely praying for forgiveness for the same thing going home from work.
Same thing.
But notice here he says, the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Listen to that. If I try to be godly, then he's going to separate me for his own purposes.
Amen.
God's looking at me.
Yes.
You know, Isaiah said, the Lord said in Isaiah, unto this man will I look. You want God to look at you? You want his attention? You want him to notice you in a way he doesn't notice the world? He says, unto this man will I look, unto him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. That's a humble individual.
That's right.
You remember Elder Sam Bryant believed, and this is a good quote to remember, that the cornerstone of Christian character is humility.
Amen.
I believe that's the truth.
Yes.
And that man that is a poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at God's word is someone that God is looking at.
Yes.
Because he reverences God's word. And if he reads something in the Bible and realizes he's living contrary to it, he fears God, not in a slavish fear, but he wants to correct that because he knows. Listen, God will set apart the godly.
We're
going to pause the message here for now, but we want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.